hillside is to create an experience where your faith is lifted and God can breathe life into your soul. Our hope is that today's sermon will encourage you, equip you, and empower you to live the life that God created for you. We're excited to open God's Word together and our faith to be strengthened. Welcome to Hillside.
No, good to see you again this morning. I'm so glad that you're joining with us. Do me a favor, as we always do. Can you put your hands together? Welcome those watching with us online. We're so glad that you're taking it in. I got a special shout out from Miss Robin. I don't know if you're watching right now or if you'll be taking this in later. Bumped into them in the grocery store and just navigating some things in life so they're not present with us. I know many of you taking service in online, or those of you that are here, come on, you're grateful that the online is an option, but we do want to make you feel welcome and glad that you're here. If you have your Bibles, come on, I want to invite you to turn to Ecclesiastes. For those of you new to the faith, that's a book of the Bible, all right? Ecclesiastes, powerful book of the Bible, written by Solomon. And it kind of goes into this category of scripture called wisdom literature. At Hillside, we believe all of the Bible is wisdom literature, but the scholars and theologians, they have broken scripture up into some different categories, and it is good for us to read from all of them. Today's message, I'm going to be looking at a portion of scripture from Ecclesiastes, as well as a story from the book of Genesis. We've been in a series called One-Liners. One-Liners, we've been looking at simple, small truths that have an eternal impact. And so I hope it's been good for you, for your soul. Today we wrap up the series with this one-liner. The encouragement is this: don't let one season last a lifetime. That's our food for thought today, is don't let one season last a lifetime. How many of you know life has different seasons? How many of you know, as you mature and grow as an adult, and especially as a follower of Christ, it becomes more obvious that life has seasons. You're on a journey. We don't have church, if you will, and have community so you can make a one-time decision, but no, so that you can have life with God. All throughout Scripture, we see this principle play out, and we want to be cautious. We want to be careful. We want to step into maturity in the faith to not let one season last a lifetime. And so Ecclesiastes, it gives us some wisdom. It gives us some encouragement. And it's a familiar passage. So really, if you haven't read this before, you'll be like, man, isn't that a Simon and Garfunkel song? Isn't that somewhere in the mix? For those of younger generation, you need to look up Simon and Garfunkel, okay? You need to be aware of the generation before and their music. Well, anyhow, Ecclesiastes 3, it says, there is a time for everything, and a season for every activity under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain, a time to search, and a time to give up, a time to keep, and a time to throw away, a time to tear, and a time to mend, a time to be silent, and a time to speak, a time to love, and a time to hate, a time for war, and a time for peace. Fascinating portion of Scripture, but it gives us some perspective in life. And we are going to really head in one direction today. There are multiple seasons that each one of us face, and we're going to particularly look at some of the difficult seasons of life. And my encouragement for you is not to let one season last a lifetime. It's important to reflect, to have perspective, but also to be self-aware of what season am I in now. It's important to keep up with the times. This is the one shout out I give to everybody that is fashion sensitive in the audience, because you get it. You don't want to be wearing clothes from 50 years ago. It's just the wrong season. My wife's always telling me, Paul, you need to just a little tweak to the closet, because your clothes are becoming a little outdated. Well, so it is in life, that if you're not careful, you can be in a season, but you can be living in the wrong season. Your frame of mind, your faith, your perspective can be caught maybe in last year or 10 years ago. I've seen some people do life or reflect and remember one thing that I had heard about someone before. And he said, man, growing in God, it's like been a revelation for me. I've been a Christian, saved for 22 years, but I've lived year one 22 times. Just never grown, never matured, never developed, never grew up in the faith. It can be so tempting in our lives to let one season last a lifetime. I want to equip you today to move into the season God has for you. Because hear me, God's got good things in store for your life. Even though you may find yourself in a difficult season, we don't give up. We have hope always. And God is always up to good things. He's always up to something new. He's always resurrecting places where brokenness is, where fear is, where anxiety is. Give yourself some grace. If you're in a hard season, know that God's leading you into a good future. Your best days are ahead. I want to encourage you. Come on. Just those that are present with me, turn to your neighbor. I'm going to ask you to say something strange, but then I'll share the story. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't be Queen Victoria. Come on. Just do that right now. Don't be Queen Victoria. Don't be Queen Victoria. Let me tell you a little story about Queen Victoria, all right? She was British royalty. And one of the tragedies of Queen Victoria's life was she lost her husband, King Albert, when he was 42 years old. And that's a season, that's a difficulty, that's a devastation, that's a tragedy. Of course, for the royal family and the implications of the kingdom, but for her personally, it was a season she never got past. In fact, history recounts that Queen Victoria never moved on. So she had her servants make up his side of the bed every day. She had her servants put out his clothes the same way every day until she landed up passing away. She went to sleep every night with a framed picture of him next to her. She let one season last a lifetime. Now, you romantics in the room are like, man, that is so sweet. I want to be Queen Victoria. No, it makes a good Hallmark movie, but a terrible life, somebody. You don't want to be that. But can I tell you, tragedy in life, it has such a way of gripping our soul that if we're not careful, God's calling us to move in to the next season. But because of fear, because of disappointment, because of offense, we struggle to step into the future he has for us. If you think about life, we're in a changing of the season. How many of you are thrilled with the changing of the season? All right, we got a few. Fall is one of my favorite seasons. Winter, not so much. Fall, I love. Spring, I love. Summer, I love in Indiana. It's great. You know, with the changing of the seasons, I become a little more attentive. Sometimes I slow down, begin to take things in a little bit more. And this is that season where it really begins to become noticeable that all of creation gets it, except for human beings. There's a changing of the season going on. Squirrels are collecting nuts. They're storing up. They've been storing them up the whole year long because they know what's coming. The geese, when they're not chasing me, they're getting with their friends, collecting, because what are they about to do? They're about to migrate south because they know the cold is coming in. You think of birds. Birds are gathering together because they're about to shift southward. Bears, come on, we all love bears. Some of us wish we could pull off what bears do during the winter season. They've eaten, they've grown tremendous weight, and they plan to just sleep, taking in the winter season. Seems like all of creation understands it, but sometimes human beings, myself included, we don't recognize that there's a change in the season of our soul. It's good for us to be attentive to that. We're going to spend some time with a biblical character because all throughout Scripture we see every person had a different season in life. And come on, it's encouraging to take the highs of people's stories. But if we're not careful, we fail to recognize that for many of them, there were difficult seasons. There were hard seasons. There were seasons where faith needed to really kick in. In a winter season, faith and hope have got to be the soundtrack of your soul. In a summer season of the soul, when the wind's at your back and everything's perfect, come on, enjoy the season, love the season. You can kind of listen to whatever you want in the season of your soul because nothing is messing you up. But winter could be a little tough. There ain't no sunshine when she's gone in winter, somebody. That becomes the soundtrack for your soul if you're not careful, but God is going to encourage you, I know, through his word today. We're going to look at the story of a man named Joseph. Joseph is a tremendous character in Scripture. Joseph, he's the best in a lot of ways. He is steady, he is faithful, and it says in the Scripture that the Lord was with him. God promoted him, God gave him great favor. But the journey of his life is a bit of a roller coaster, if we're honest. And you may be sitting here today, and you don't go from mountain peak to mountain peak to mountain peak. For you, it's mountain, valley, mountain, valley. Joseph's life is very similar. In fact, I'm going to take a moment and highlight what is happening in his journey, save us reading these several chapters of Scripture. But in Genesis 37, it begins with the story of Jacob, but it shifts very quickly to the story of Joseph. And the story of Joseph in Genesis chapter 37, listen to just these things that happened. In Genesis 37, Joseph, perhaps the most famous part of his story, takes place. He's given a robe of many colors. In 37:4, this robe of many colors has caused tension in the family. It's caused some severing of relationships, some brokenness in the midst. But Joseph, he just stays aloof. And why shouldn't he? He's got the coat of many colors. So he's like flaunting his stuff. He's working it. He's going into all the environments, and everybody's drawn to see this amazing robe. Talk about hashtag favor. He had it. But what that led to in verse 37:4, quite simply, it says his brothers hated him. His brothers hated him. Well, the next verse, mountain peak, God gives him a vision, prophetic gifting, prophetic anointing, prophetic vision for the story of his life. Now, not the journey of his life, but one of the highlights to come in later. And then in verse 24, his brothers, because of their jealousy, because of their anger, because of their envy, they threw him into a pit. Isn't that funny? How many of you have some siblings in your life? Aren't you used to your siblings celebrating you? Aren't you used to when you get a promotion or something good happens, you get that text from your older brothers or your younger brothers, and they're just rejoicing with you? That's most of us, right? No, not so much, right? Human nature, when we see somebody, we become jealous, we become envy. This is exactly what Joseph experienced. Here are wonderful things happening, thrown into a pit. Verse 27, sold into slavery. It skips a chapter in verse 38, and then in Genesis 39, we read, Joseph goes from being in the pit, he's sold into slavery, and he's bought by Potiphar. And Potiphar is an influential man in the kingdom of Egypt. Potiphar sees that the favor of God, something is different about Joseph. And so he promotes him to being head of his household. Well, things move from the mountain to the valley quite quickly. He becomes wrongfully accused by Potiphar's wife, who desires him and wants to sleep with him. And Joseph, out of respect and honor for the authority, knowing how the blessing comes in life, said, no, we can't do that. Your husband has put me in charge of your entire household. How could I betray him? How could I undercut his trust? How could I shame him? His wife's like, I got a few ideas. And he's like, no. Well, in the midst of that betrayal, Potiphar comes home and she shows him a robe and accuses Joseph of rape. And Potiphar doesn't even hear his side of the story. He throws Joseph from head of the household into Pharaoh's prison. God never leaves him. God never forsakes him. And in fact, you can't shake the favor of God off your life, because the blessing and the favor continue to showcase in Joseph's life. And he goes from Potiphar's house to the prison and then to the head of the prison guard. A good prison guard sees how good Joseph is, how detailed he is, how attentive he is, how alert he is, how much the favor of God is on his life, and he elevates him to becoming head of the prison. And then one of the biggest difficulties, I believe, takes place in Joseph's life. He gets handed to him a baker and the cupbearer to the king. They're both sent to prison, influential positions, interacting with Pharaoh almost every day. They both have dreams. Joseph interprets the dreams. One goes one way, the other dies. Both happen in their dreams. And here's what Joseph says. He says, hey, when you guys get out of here, don't forget me. But he's forgotten. They forget him for 2 years. For 2 years after his promotion, Joseph's life hits pause. He's forgotten. He's not remembered. Until Pharaoh has a dream. And we begin to see the fulfillment of God's story, God's purposes, God's plan, God's using Joseph as a vessel to write his story in the world. And so it's a mountain, a valley, a mountain, a valley, a mountain, a valley. And then Joseph is promoted through interpreting Pharaoh's dream. He is promoted to become, if you will, the prime minister of Egypt, second only to Pharaoh. It's a remarkable story, but here, see this, don't miss it. Joseph's life is filled with seasons. American culture, in many aspects, has forgotten that you walk through seasons. Perhaps in your workplace, they don't recognize that sometimes in life, you're in the middle of a difficult season. They don't care. They need you to produce. They need you to get the job done. They need you to make it happen. And while that may work well in some life places and stations of life, it can be very difficult for the soul. And slowly but surely, we can let what happens in a workplace, a comment somebody makes, begin to infiltrate our life so that we feel like we always have to be on. We feel like we always have to produce. We feel like every season is a season of harvest. Let me tell you right now, every season is not a season of harvest. Mature followers of Christ recognize the seasons of the soul. Sometimes it's spring. Sometimes it's summer. Sometimes it's fall. Sometimes it's winter. One of the things Joseph really, really got right was he never let one season last his lifetime. He was never too preoccupied when he was at the top of the mountain. He was never too broken when he was in the bottom of a pit. Because notice, Genesis 45, 7 through 8, it shares this remarkable verse. When Joseph encounters his brothers in Egypt, and he is the prime minister at this point, and he says this, but God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. Verse 8 is critical. So then, it was not you, who sent me here. Two words, but God. He made me father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household, and ruler of all Egypt. One of the things that happens for us as we mature in Christ is we learn to cherish every season, even the tough ones, even the difficult ones. Like Joseph, my prayer is not that you start your faith well. Part of the vision of our church is to build lives so that you finish well. What good is it to live the life of what a Chinese pastor accused the church in the West of? He said, you Christians in the West, you start well. Everybody starts so well, so enthusiastic, so energetic. But you finish so poorly. I remember hearing that and said, not me. I'm gonna like beam that into my life every day. Finish well, finish well, finish well. Your life has different seasons, but the same God is faithful no matter the season. Your life may have disappointments, but the same God breathes hope into those places. You may have a fall season that just you're thinking, man, will this ever end? Can we ever move past? Can we ever shift? God says, yes. God says, yes. Trust me. Walk with me. Know my nearness in the season that you're in. Something interesting happens. Genesis 37, we just kind of take the story in. But some strange particulars happen in 39, 40, and the rest of Joseph's story. These little one-liners, maybe this is a better one for you. It's simple, but it says, the Lord was with him. It doesn't explain it. It doesn't share Joseph's emotions. It doesn't share, hey, Joseph, what was going in your soul right then? You know, what were you struggling with? Can you give us some pointers? It says none of that. It leaves it to the imagination. It leaves it to the Holy Spirit here and now, whispering to our soul, the Lord was with him. In the pit, the Lord was with him. In the prison, the Lord was with him. In the false accusations and betrayal in Potiphar's house, the Lord was with him. Can I whisper something to your soul? The Lord is with you. He's with you. I don't feel him. He's with you. Are you sure? I haven't heard from him in so long. He's with you. He's with you. Recognize the season of life that you're in. Joseph, there's no doubt, navigated these valley seasons well. He was cautious in every season. He enjoyed them. He was wise in them. And honestly, he could reflect on how each season played a pivotal role. But I've seen too many followers of Christ let a winter last a lifetime. Too many people are living like Queen Victoria. They're just caught up. Now, obviously, it may not be a Prince Albert's picture that they frame next to him, but it could be a move of God that happened 40 years ago and you can't get over it. And what do? You've got it boxed up. You got it next to you. And God's like, man, break that box up. See what the Spirit is saying now. See what the Spirit is doing now. It could be a disappointment. Could be a missed expectation. We got it boxed up and we're going to bed. We're just placing it right there. So every time we wake up, we're fixated on the disappointment. God wants to come in and he wants to breathe hope into your life. How does he do that? Through his word. Through this story. There's a few things I'm going to share and then we'll close. First, Joseph was aware and knew God set the seasons. Come on, think of that. It's easy to hear. It's easy to say, yeah, I love it. And then it's another thing to live it. But in Joseph's story, there's no way of looking at it and not seeing the sovereignty of God playing out in his life. Now, Joseph had choices on every day. I mean, he had every right to either partner with God or partner with victimhood. Every reason, man, I'm going to partner with God. I'm going to see that I'm in the midst of this pit. He's going to make a way. I'm going to see him in this prison. He can bring promotion. Promotion comes from the Lord. Doesn't come from man. I'm going to trust him. And he, even though they weren't written yet, you know he's quoting scripture. He's just sharing thoughts. He's just like you do on Facebook, man. I'm going to share that little meme. Joseph sharing the goodness of God, the goodness of God, the goodness of God. And he's speaking. And he knew this. God set the seasons. Let me give a shout out to all my control freaks. Control freaks, where you at? All right, all right. This next moment of the message is going to be painful, but it's going to free your soul. God sets the seasons. Do your best. Relax. Relinquish. Don't control people. They're not yours. They're his. Lead people to Jesus and relax. Lead people to hope, relax. Do your best. I've been seeing a meme lately, and under the meme, everybody says it's the best thing I've heard all day. And they say, God factored in my stupid when he planned my future. Come on, that's just going to free you right now. That's just going to free you up right now. Like, we know it. Everybody around you knows it. Except you. Stupid. I'm not stupid. What do you mean I'm not stupid? Everybody knows you got a little stupid in you. All right, everybody's got a freak flag. Some of you just waving it a little too high. But here's what I mean. God's factored it in. There is a moment where we just, God, we can't control this. I can't control this season. Listen, a death in the family, that's a tragedy. You couldn't control it. There's sometimes relational breakdowns that are outside of your control. There's sometimes difficult seasons you can't control. Sometimes a workplace can get hit by an economy, hashtag 2020, and you lose your job or you're laid off. You were their best employee, but life, but 2020 happened. God's not surprised. God whispers to your soul, I am with you. I don't feel it. God says, I don't care. I'm with you. 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 You cannot go through life expecting to be able to control every outcome. It's just impossible. America, it tells you you can, but let a pastor tell you you can't. Rest in honoring God. Obeying his word, abiding in his spirit, doing the very best you can, loving, forgiving, walking free from addictions, trusting God in every realm of life. And at the end of the day, know this, as Joseph did. Joseph was aware and knew God sets the seasons. It's also good theologically that we know some things just aren't caused by us. Sometimes in a winter or a difficult season, people can latch on to a disappointment and they can go a little sideways theologically. And here's what they say. They say, I deserve this. This is punishment for my wrongdoing. Listen, in life, reap what you sow, hands down. It's wired into the fiber of our world. But I've seen people blame sickness on God. We didn't have that problem 200 years ago. Everybody knew that sickness is from the devil. Nobody was like, man, I wonder, is God trying to teach me something? Is there a lesson here? Yeah, there's a lesson in everything in life. But I've seen people even struggle in an area of their life, experience something with a baby. Let's just be real candid for a moment. And somehow, the enemies come across their path and says, you deserve that. And I tell you, that's a lie from the pit of hell. The God calls you child. We're in a fallen world. There's a day coming when Jesus, he's on his throne now, but he's going to rule on earth. And he said, I will dry every tear. I will heal every heartbreak. some things in life, we don't need to blame on God. We need to step back, trust that God's with us. He controls the season. Joseph knew this. Joseph knew this. Secondly, Joseph knew he was responsible. Here it is, for his own heart. If you're anything like me, I'm not going to ask my control freaks to raise their hand again. I'm just saying, I'm with you. But Joseph knew he could control his own heart. That's about it. That's what God gives you. Control your own heart. In a season where you feel like it's all difficult, I don't know, let's hypothetically propose something, okay? Let's hypothetically propose that this year there was going to be a global pandemic. Just throw that idea out there. Let's hypothetically propose that it was going to cause an economic downturn globally. Let's hypothetically propose that it was going to cause an added stress on family. It was going to cause some disappointments. It was going to cause some rifts in people's lives. It happened. God's not confused. God wasn't absent. God's very much involved, and I'm believing, by golly, in the name of Jesus, he's bringing a miracle and a healing over this virus. It will not last a lifetime. But we're going to learn some things. We're going to grow. Our faith is being strengthened. Ain't no year like 2020 grown my faith. I don't know about you. And that's part of the beauty of these winter seasons, that God could strengthen our resolve. Man, I don't feel you, but I trust what your word says is true. Because that's part of the growing process, is that we don't rely, our faith is not feelings. Our faith is based on the word of God and who he says he is through the Spirit of God. And so Joseph knew he was responsible for his own heart. And sometimes difficulty exposes the heart. Sometimes difficulty, a winter season, can expose the heart. I don't know about you, but I want my heart to look like Joseph's. There's no sidebar on Joseph's comments. He did not have a social media account. He did not get to share all of his feelings all the time. Joseph was oftentimes hidden. But what was he doing? I believe in those hidden places. He was meeting with God. He was recounting the faithfulness of God. He was navigating his own heart. There was no victim card with Joseph. One of the lies of the enemy is he wants to portray you as a victim. You are not a victim. And if you just like, man, I've got to be a victim. Okay, you are a victim of the healing power of God over your life. You are a victim of the chain breaker, stronghold remover, and your provider in Jesus' name. If you say, man, you are a victim to the power of the Holy Spirit, whose word declares, I am your comforter, I am your healer, and I will lead you into all truth. You can take that. But outside of that, no. Our circumstances, this current moment, this current season is not going to last a lifetime. It may define a lifetime, but it's not going to last a lifetime. Because I know Jesus, the man for all seasons. The man in every season. Third, Joseph navigated the winter season well. The Lord was with Joseph. The Lord will be with you. There's a wonderful book out there by an author named Mark Buchanan. He's written several really, really good books. I highly recommend all of them. I just won't tell you all of them. You can look them up in your own time. But he's got one book called Spiritual Rhythm. And in the book Spiritual Rhythm, he writes about every season of the soul. And he mirrors the seasons that we have here on earth. And the winter season really resonated with me. Not necessarily in this moment, but it was just written so poetically and powerfully that I thought it may help some of you this morning. And so the slide's going to come up. It's a little bit of a quote. But this is our heart. This is our feelings. This is our mindset in the winter season. Can we bring that slide up? In the winter of the heart, we experience a wide gap between what we know God and what we taste and see of God. Our theology says one thing: God is loving, faithful, righteous, bestowing wonders. But our experience says another, that he's aloof, angry, capricious, dealing bruises. And we feel, even when we're with others, we're estranged from them. Sadness is a room we can't find the door out of. And worst of all, we feel the encroachment of death. Everything looks dead. We feel dead in the winter of the soul. Sometimes we wish we were dead. But Christ, the man for all seasons, meets us even here. In the depth of our winter time, he waits with us. He prunes us. He breaks our self-dependency and deepens our God-dependency. He brings us into a fresh encounter with the God who raises the dead. And always, the man for all seasons leads us out of winter. What a beautiful quote. Beautiful passage there. Mark Buchanan's reflecting on, for him, the loss of one of his closest friends. He's a pastor, or at the time was a pastor. Everything was going great in ministry, in life. But one of his dearest friends, unfortunately, became ill with cancer and landed up subsequently passing away. Difficulty, tragedy. And he defines it in this way, but here's what he recognized. I've not been forsaken. God is with me. That's my encouragement to you today. No matter what season you may find in your soul and in your life, and I've got a hunch you may be coming out of it, but 2020, somewhere a winter popped up and popped in. I've seen people navigate it really, really well. Really, really well. How? They've remained in Christ, and they've remained in community. Two things. They've remained in Christ, and they've remained in community. They've remained in Christ. Why do we encourage Bible reading? Why do we encourage prayer? Why do we encourage fasting? Why do we encourage community? Why all these things? As my daughters will ask. Because little habits create a large harvest in your life. Remaining in Christ, fighting hard to remain in community, be the game changer for your life. I close with this story. In the north, a little more north of us, farmers still to this day in Canada will tie a rope around their leg in the midst of a blizzard. They've learned their lesson that when a blizzard hits, it's not like an Indiana blizzard, a northern Canada blizzard, you can't see 5 feet in front of your face. And so they'll tie a rope because they've heard the stories of centuries past that some of the earliest settlers in Canada and in some places, the northeast and northwest of North America, they wouldn't understand how to navigate a blizzard. And human nature always says, it'll pass, or it's about to stop. I'm just going to run this quick errand, and it'll all be fine. But they had heard the rumors of families that had lost husbands, fathers, grandparents because of one small errand, one small trip. We're not talking 500 feet. We're not talking even a mile away from their house. We're talking, in some cases, they would find these people 10, 15, 25 feet from their home, frozen to death. They got caught in a blizzard. You don't realize it, but our culture is a blizzard. Our culture is a blizzard. They keep us busy, distracted. Fear and anxiety rule and reign supreme in the culture of the United States. This past week, you've received over 3,000 different forms of advertising, all trying to get you to buy something that can do only what God can do. And Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary, and I will give you rest. If you're looking for the rope in the blizzard, his name is Jesus. And it's best to follow Jesus according to his ways, not the ways of culture. The ways of culture say, hey, if you get 16 different Bible plans going this week, it'll be good for your soul. No, 16 different Bible plans is absolute confusion. You need to slow down, settle in silence, and let the presence of God come into your heart, come into your life. Let him whisper to you in the winter season. Tether the rope around your ankle to the house of God, so to speak, that when the blizzard of life comes, you won't be stuck out, frozen, in a different state. We've got some people here, I won't highlight them. We've got some people here who've walked through some difficult winter seasons. You know what? They keep showing up every Sunday. Every Sunday. They're exhausted. God hasn't answered all their prayer requests. God hasn't done all the miracles. But they walk in hope and hold out that this winter season, it will come to an end. And so they don't go by their feelings. Well, do I feel like it? Do I want to pray? Do I want to read? Do I really want to meet with God? Do I really want to go to church? I mean, all these kids, it takes forever. It's exhausting. Can I tell you, it's worth it. One foot in front of the other, and you'll find yourself. Winter will be farther and farther back. Spring is on the way. Seasons of life, seasons of hope. Listen, can I just encourage you? I wanted to declare a few things into your spirit and we'll end. You are not always going to live with financial anxiety. You're not. You're not always going to live with a broken heart. You're not always going to live in a place wondering if the promises and the dreams God spoke on your heart will come to pass, because they will. You won't always live wondering if your kids are ever going to get it, whatever the get it is. It's just a season. Hold out hope. Know that God is the God of the mustard seed. Your mustard seed will move mountains in the name of Jesus. Winter, it's here for a season. But you won't let this season last a lifetime. You serve the chain breaker, and he is breaking off the chains of the cold. And he's breathing, just like the Holy Spirit is called the breath. It's called the ruach, Old Testament Hebrew word. It's called the wind, the breath of God. Can I tell you, it's just like a nice, warm breeze going to come into your soul. You're going to find yourself. Note this. You can write it down if you want. You're going to find yourself in the coming weeks, in the coming months, you're going to move from a difficult, disappointing season into a season of peace, into a season of joy, into a season of fulfillment. God is not called the abundant Heavenly Father for no good reason. He's going to meet every need and make a way where there seems to be no way. Come on, let me pray for you, and then we'll conclude. God, thank you today for your word over our life. We thank you that in scripture, even looking at the names of Jesus, God, we know that he was the man of sorrows. Lord, that Jesus' life had difficulty, it had disappointments. But Lord, we know that you were faithful, that he walked in victory despite the valley. Oh God, we're so glad that you're here. We're so glad that your word whispers hope to our soul. We receive your peace right now. We recognize, God, we don't have to have all the answers because we know the answer. That, Lord, when we're so fixated on the why, you're calling us to the who. You are the who, God, the one who has written our story in the chronicles of human history. You've set this time apart. For such a time as this, we've been born. Father, for such a time as this, we've been appropriated by your goodness to shine the light of Jesus to the world around us. Lord, our past, our mistakes, our brokenness, God, it's a testimony and to invite people, come and see what Jesus can do. And Lord, I speak a word of peace over every person under the sound of my voice. God, those right now in the thick of a winter season, I thank you that they've not been forsaken in any way. And I thank you, God, that you're going to take them. As your word declares, you lead us. Not into ashes, but into beauty. Not into brokenness, but into healing. Thank you, God, for releasing waves of your love, your peace, your healing. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God is good.